You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in my favorite book, Nehemiah, tonight, the book of Nehemiah. And let's stand together. We haven't stood for about 40 minutes, 45. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah, verses 1 through 4. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, build a wall. Everyone needs a wall. You need to be putting your effort into something. Your education, your job, Christianity, a Sunday school class, a bus route, a choir. You need to be putting yourself into the Christian school. There's things that you need to build a wall in your life. Everyone here is building a wall. You're a single adult. You're a widow, a widower. You're a married couple. You're raising children. You have the empty nest. Everybody is building a wall. Tonight we look at this wall, chapter number 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's read together. Ready, begin. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Nehemiah is a cupbearer to the king, and the war was now over. He could have gone back. Other folks had gone back to Jerusalem, but he stayed and he served as a cupbearer to the king. He would taste the king's liquid, the wine, and eat his food. And if he was not poisoned, then it was good for the king to eat. Nehemiah had an opportunity to go back, but he felt like God left him there in this palace. He received word from his brother Hanani that the walls of the city of Jerusalem, 2 million Jews, they were all exposed to danger. When he heard this, he did five things. He sat down. Have you ever been received news that your knees collapsed? I remember 35 years ago about receiving a phone call in a distant state. And literally when I heard those words, my knees collapsed and I fell down to the ground on the porch of my father-in-law's house. My heart was so heavy that my knees collapsed. He sat down, he wept, he fasted, he prayed, and he mourned. Our Father, I pray that tonight you would open our eyes to the Word of God. Every one of us is building a wall around something. And I pray that we might glean insight from the Word of God tonight, the ingredients that are required if we're to build a wall around our son, our daughter. Certainly a wall must be built, and there are ingredients that must be put in order to succeed in building a wall around our children's lives. There's a wall that needs to be built around our marriages tonight in this auditorium. A wall needs to be built around our homes, our Christian school, our college, our bus ministry, our Sunday school. Help us to pay careful attention to the ingredients that Nehemiah put into the building of the wall. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The wall was so necessary because, and I just broke my glasses. That's going to be great. And I lost my backup glasses, so my goodness, I'm preaching out of town tomorrow night and I'm going to be like this, I guess. But how in the world did that happen? Well, we'll just, all right, let's go home. I can't preach. A wall was necessary because wild animals and the enemy could come and attack the Jews. The Jews were subject to danger. And because of that, when Nehemiah heard it, he sat down. He just, I can't take it. I sat down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted and I prayed. I find some ingredients that are so important in this text while we're building a wall around our lives. Number one, ingredient number one, is always, it always begins with this. This began Acts chapter 1. Acts 2, the power of God did not come but with Acts chapter 1. Acts 2 was the power of God. Acts 3 was the preaching. Acts 4 was the persecution. Acts 5 was the giving of the people of God to the work of God, the pocketbook. Acts chapter number 6 was the polity, the deacons, and every church needs deacons. You're not a church, you don't have deacons. Deacons have a task to fulfill. And then you had more persecution in Stephen and the death of Stephen. And then you have the Apostle Paul getting saved and Peter taking the gospel. But it's not possible without chapter 1 of the book of Acts. In chapter 1, verse 14, and they continued faithfully in prayer. If you're going to build a wall around your house, your life, your home, your children, you're going to have to do it with prayer. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is announcing to God, I cannot do this. I'm not capable. All prayers are negative. There's no positive prayers. There's positive in adoring God and worshiping God and magnifying His name. I was thinking this morning, and I was reading somewhere, but I read about the sun, and it wasn't Psalm 8, but I read about the sun, the moon, and the stars. What is man that thou art mindful for him? And I thought about the sun, how it's such a beautiful thing, and the moon is so beautiful, and the stars, and this past week, the planets, 5 of them all lined up in a line. And it's just a wonderful thing what God does for us. That's not prayer. Prayer is asking God. I have not because I ask not. And when I ask amiss. Then we consume it upon our own lust. Here in the Bible, in Nehemiah, in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 3, 4, when I came to pass, when I had heard these words, I sat down and wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and what? I prayed. What did he pray? Verse 5, and said, here's his prayer. I beseech thee, I beg thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great, the terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night. For the children of Israel, the servants confess their sins, and the children of Israel which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. He's praying, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beg thee, I beseech thee, the word which thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were cast out unto you, yet gather them from hence, I will bring them unto that place which I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, the servant this day, grant him mercy in thy sight, this man, for I'm the king's cupbearer. He prayed. Prayer's a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Blessings all ours without measure. So pray about everything. Pray about everything. I find myself in my life these days just in a constant spirit of prayer. My Bible said, and I feel like I'm learning what it means finally after all these years, pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. God wants us to be in an attitude of prayer. And I try to, unless I'm listening to KMBBC, our radio station, I try to keep all the music off, all the news off, all of it off. And I just like to pray in my car. I like to speak to God. I like to tell God how great he is. You know, the prophets, when they prayed, they always, I'm going to use this word, I don't mean it irreverent, buttered God up before they began to pray. They would tell God how great he was, like a wife does when she wants a new dress. When a wife comes to you and says, you're so wonderful, you're so amazing, you're so great, she wants the checkbook. She wants the credit card. And God's word here, Nehemiah's praying. He said, oh God, I beseech you, we're sinners. That's all we are. We've not obeyed your commandments. Our fathers transgressed, and I have sinned, and we have sinned. And he includes himself in that. But he said, I want to come to you, God, because prayer is the avenue in which we touch the throne of grace. I wonder how many of you have a wayward son or a wayward daughter tonight. They're outside of God's house. I wonder what would happen if you would actually, as the Apostle Paul talked about prayer, as Nehemiah is talking about prayer, if we actually prayed and lost sleep and lost appetite over our food, and we could not eat because we're praying for our children that are away from God. Wonder how many souls would be saved if we actually prayed. I wonder how this country would come back to God. And on Sunday morning, you'd see traffic jams all over the place, people going to God's house and police out directing traffic because the house of God was going to be filled. Here's Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says, the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah went before the king, and the king said, you seem troubled about something. What's trouble? He goes, I've been praying to God. What are you praying about? He goes, well, Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates are burnt with fire. And that's my hometown. That's my city, Jerusalem. And that city's falling apart. And they need a man that comes and will rise up and build up a wall of protection around that city again. And I've been praying to my God that he would let me go. You know, that king said, if you'll go, I'll let you go. I'll give you letters. I'll give you provision. But you have to come back. He said, oh, king, I'll come back. You know, you're not going to have a wall around anything unless you pray. I'm praying so much for our church these days. I know we have 50 years together. That's a long time. My wife has stayed young. I was young, but I have not stayed young all these years. But I believe God wants to do more this year than he's ever done before. Amen. Amen. I believe there's more buildings to buy. There's more buses to run. We started another rest home today. We're in 19, I believe, now, and in another rest home today. And we're reaching these people that are knocking on death's door. They're just one step away, one breath away from eternity, whether go to heaven or hell. And we must reach them. We had boys and girls on those buses this morning. And the buses were filled and they came in because their people cared for those bus kids. We had teachers that taught them the Word of God. We had preachers that preached the Word of God to them. That's answer to prayer. We pray every Saturday night, but we pray throughout the week for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, door knocking, all of it. God's Word is so powerful, but if you're going to build a wall, you're going to have prayer. President Trump, in my estimation, is answer to prayer. We as a church family prayed every Wednesday night, and you prayed every day, and I asked you for months to fast a meal, and I know he's not going to be perfect, but I'm encouraged that he wants to protect this country. God answered our prayer. But in addition, I want you to see, not only do you need to pray, but you better expect opposition. Opposition is part of life. Whenever you go forward, you create friction. And in friction, there's always problems. Look what he says in chapter 2, verse number 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite heard it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It upset them that there was a man of God coming to take care of the situation. Chapter 4, verse number 1 through 3. Look what he says. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Then he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubble which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their wall. A fox is the lightest walking animal. And he said, even a fox is going to destroy it. Now, don't tell me that there's not going to be opposition. Perhaps it's with a wayward son or daughter. And perhaps they're going to say, okay, I don't want to talk to you, Mom. I don't want to talk to you, Dad, till you back off. Perhaps it'll get worse with the drugs, and worse with the drink, and worse with the alcohol. Perhaps it'll get worse that they don't want to be part of your life at all. But never give up. Never quit. There's going to be opposition. Child of God, you start a business, there's always going to be opposition. You begin anything in life, there's always opposition. Look what the Bible says in chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Chapter 6 and verse number 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that we had built the wall, and there was no breach left, though at that time I had not set the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. And they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work that I cannot come. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it unto you? Verse number 9. They had made us afraid, for they had all made us afraid, saying, the hands shall be weakened. Let us meet together, verse 10, in the house of God. Verse number 12, and I perceived that God had not sent them, but they pronounced prophecy against me, for Tobias Sanballat hired him. Therefore he was hired that I should be afraid. God's work is always going to be opposed. If you're building a wall around your marriage, if you're building a wall around your family, if you're building a wall around a business, you're building a wall around a bus route, there's always going to be opposition. I perhaps should have said this to Brother Luke, but I said, you know, he goes, I love you, Pastor. These are great people, and you are the best. But I'd like to have a day without any trials. I'd like to have a day with no troubles. And Brother Jerry, I said to him then, but I said, I'm not going to allow any trial or any difficulty to remove what God's doing in our church. Did you hear Brother Salazar yesterday? It was refreshing to hear a man 46 years in the same pulpit. And he said, by the way, and he talked about the negative people and the people that leave his church. And I thought, yes, we're not the only one. But it's in every church in America. I know a preacher in the Midwest right now tonight is going through a heartache of his life because he had to resign his church, not because of any sin, but because they didn't want him anymore. He believed in salvation by grace. He believed in soul winning. He believed in separation. But the church didn't believe that way anymore. And just a handful of men got together and they made sure that he was not going to be the pastor, and he's not the pastor. It's everywhere. You know, if you're going to build something for God, there's always going to be opposition. Someone will say, when you say rise up and build, they'll say rise up and oppress. I find that one of the ingredients in building a wall is prayer. I find one of the ingredients is opposition. Thirdly, I find one of the ingredients is unity. In chapter 3, I won't read through every verse, but every verse talks how they build it. And you can underline the word build it throughout the... And next to him, verse number 2, build it. And next to them, build it. And verse 4, and next to him, repaired. And next to them, repaired Zadok. And next to him, verse 5, was Tekoa, the Toegites. And next to them, verse 7, repaired. And verse number 8, next to them, repaired. And verse number 9, next to them, repaired. And verse number 10, next to them, repaired. And verse number 10, next to them, repaired. And everywhere you look, that all of them were working by their homes on the wall. God had them all situated. He said, you are putting effort into repairing this wall, but you're working where you live. And everybody did their job. That's why they built the wall around a city for 2 million Jews in 52 days. That's not possible. But in 52 days, they built those walls up around that city. There was unity. Psalm 133, verse 1, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Working together, going the same direction. I saw it yesterday morning, that gymnasium over there, that lower floor was packed with chairs everywhere, and the bleachers were packed, and people came by the hundreds, 600, 700, that listened to the word of God being taught and teaching us how to be better soul winners and reaching folks for Christ. That is not happening in America. You can't point to another church where that's taking place. But God allowed it to happen here. To God be the glory. There's unity. If you're going to build a wall around anything, there must be prayer. There must be prayer. There must be opposition. There must be unity. By the way, may I close with this here? You just got to keep on keeping on. Chapter 4, verse number 6. So built we the wall. Read that together. Ready? Begin. So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Look at verse number 16. And it came to pass that at that time forth, that half the servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held spears and shields and bows. And they which builded on the wall and bare burdens with those that laden every one. One held his work, with the other hand held a weapon. So we labored, verse 21, in the work. Half of them held their spears from the rise in the morning till the stars appeared. You just keep on keeping on. I owe so much to Mrs. Treiber. Anytime in these last 50 years, she could have said, let's just leave. The average pastor stays less than 2 years. If this church was the normal church, you would have had 25 pastors by now. Brother Doug, that amazes me. 25 pastors. Oh, but we're reaping, Brother Van Dyke, the joys that there was a lady that said, I'll stay. I'll leave my family in Illinois. I'll come to Santa Clara, California, and I'll stay, and I'll never get Christmas with them. I'll never get Thanksgiving with them. I'll never get Easter with them. I'll never get Mother's Day with them. I'll never get Father's Day. I'll never get July 4th. I'll never get any holiday with my family. But she stayed, and look what God has done. Look what God has done. You just keep on keeping on. Your husband quits. Your son quits. Your daughter quits. Your family quits. They're not coming to the house of God. Just keep plowing and keep coming. I close number 5. I want you to see in chapter number 6, please. In verse 15, I want you to read verse 15 with me, if you will, please. Ready? Begin. So the wall was finished in the 52 days. The wall was finished, Brother Eliud. The wall was all put together in 52 days. You know, you just keep going and keep going and keep doing what's right. God always lets you finish what He begins in your heart. Let God build a wall around your marriage one more time tonight. You that are struggling in your marriages, and God bless you, you're in God's house tonight. Let God build a wall around your house. You're going to have to go back to those days when you fell in love with Him and with her. You're going to have to go back to that day when you were at this altar, or an altar like this, where you were in a white dress and you're pronounced husband and wife. That's been a year, that's been 5 years, that's been 10, that's been 15, it's been 20, whatever the case might be. Let God build a wall around your marriage tonight. Would you please let Him do that? Let God build a wall around your children. Claim your children and your grandchildren for God. Would you let God build a wall around your bus route tonight? I think of those kids, they're all up here this morning, teenagers in these sections. They're such sweet kids. They come on the bus. Their only spiritual part of their life is Sunday morning for 1 hour right in here. That's it. They go to public school, and God bless them. Most of them are from broken homes, divided homes, no dad in the home. Sometimes no dad, no mother. Sometimes live with grandmother, live with an aunt, live with anybody they can. But would you let God build a wall around your bus route area and protect the children inside?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.